Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
You're very welcome back. Now, if you happen to be at Bord the Bia Bloom over the weekend, you might have seen our next guest. Teresa Hoy was at the Tusla Fostering Garden. I was there myself, and a beautiful garden it was. And I just missed her. She is here in studio. We had to get her in to talk about fostering. Of course, it is Fostering Awareness Month. And Teresa has fostered 130 children over a 28-year period. You are so welcome. So glad you came in. Teresa,
thank you very much.
You're some woman.
Oh, well. I mean, it started many, many years ago when my eldest girl, Rachel, was 18 months old. And I had just come out of my own business and I was thinking of where I was going to go next, because with a young baby, it's very difficult to run the kind of business I was running.
What were you doing?
I was a hairdresser.
Okay.
So your hands are your tools, yeah. So you have to be there yourself. So with that, I was bringing her for inoculation and I looked up on the wall and there was a poster saying, "Do you care enough?" with children in it. And I thought, here
goes. This is the doctor surgery.
Doctor surgery for the injection, her inoculation, and the poster said, "Do you care enough?" Hadn't a clue what it was about, whether it was a voluntary role or whether it was a mother and toddler group. And I made the call, and within a couple of weeks, there was a social worker through the door, and that's when the journey started.
Wow. How was it? Because a lot of people listening today, first of all, I suppose there are a lot of misconceptions about fostering.
There is. There is.
People don't realise that, you know, maybe years ago, I don't know, but there are the misconceptions that, you know, you have to be married, a certain age, not old enough, you can't work, you can't be same-sex couple. That is not true.
No. When I started, which is 28 years ago, they needed one parent to stay at home.
Okay. That's not the case anymore.
But that's definitely not the case now. You know, over the years, they've learned that you can hold down a full-time job, because I always asked, you know, somebody working, what was the difference with their children to somebody not working? They still have to get baby minders, they still have to get the children to creches, you know, they still have to take care of do their homeworks and get them to bed and feed them. So over the years we've learned that all walks of life, we want all walks of life to step forward.
Brilliant.
And come and help us out to foster, because there are just so many children in need and there aren't enough foster parents to match the amount
of children that are there. So the social worker walked into your house. Was that kind of weird? Because I'd almost feel under the microscope.
Well, like anything, going for any job, you're under the microscope. You know, it was something we wanted to do. So the social worker came out. Okay, you might have done a little bit of extra cleaning, you know, but, you know, that was kind of... The house was the way it was. Yeah. The home was the way it was. You know, myself, my husband and my baby girl was there. An 18-month-old is going to tell exactly what the life is like, you know, when they're in your arms crying or they're looking for their toys or whatever. So she came out and she had a chat with us and we looked at one another and we thought, we'll give it another go. And we had another meeting and we had another meeting, and then we had to fill out, you know, you get certain forms that you have to fill out. They want to know what type of family you are. I always remember the social worker asking, how did you solve your first row? You know, like... That's, you know, it's negotiation, you know, the loudest wins sometimes in an argument, you know, but it's negotiation. And I found with foster children, you don't give them two choices, you give them three. If you say to a child, you know, would you like this or would you like that? They'll say, I don't like either of those. But if you give them three, they have to pick one.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like if you wanted to get a child up out of bed for 8 o'clock, tell them you need them out of bed at 7:15, 7:30. And then when the 7:30 comes and they're giving out and they say, I don't want to get up, can I have another half an hour? You have to be out of bed, dressed and down the table by 8 o'clock.
I'm going to start that at home.
It'll work.
Because I can't get my child out of bed for love nor money. Teresa, do you remember the first child you got? Was it a little baby?
I do indeed. No, it wasn't. When I started, I was asked to do emergency care for teenagers in crisis. So that would have been teenagers that found themselves homeless or teenagers that just found themselves displaced. So the first girl I had was, she came to me very briefly for a very short time because her mum had met a new guy and the families were emerging and she felt she was being used as a babysitter. And she was staying in friends' houses to avoid going home. And that parent rang to say, listen, this is not fair to this child. We need her to be placed. And she came to stay with me. And things worked out over a period of time, you know. But the children that were on care in the street, they were the ones that really suffered. And they would decide they were going to come in, they were going to come off drugs for 6 months, and they were going to try live at home again. So they would come to me. And I remember one girl coming to me and with a social worker, and she was real bald. She's standing outside the door smoking the cigarette and she wouldn't come near the house. And, you know, next of all, I put the telly up a little louder because I knew she liked Coronation Street. So Coronation Street was coming on the telly. So I could hear, see her pricking the ear and coming around so that she could see the telly. I left the hall door open, the sitting room door open, and turned the telly so she could see it. And I said, would you like a cup of tea or coffee while you're watching, you know, the telly? And she, I said, well, is that tea or coffee? And she said, I'd love a cup of coffee. So gave her the coffee and she stood leaning. And I said, look, it's lashing out. I said, would you like to step in? I said, into the hall. You don't have to come into the house until you're ready, you know. So that negotiation went on and on and on for the whole of Coronation Street. By the time Coronation Street was over, she was in the sitting room eating the biscuits, having a cup of tea. And, you know, she decided then, I said, would you like to see the bedroom you could be staying in? Because these children are coming into a home that they don't know anybody in at all. So, the, you know, and they're 13, 14, 15. They know their world. They know who they are. You know, they just haven't got the love of somebody to take care of them. So she went up the stairs. She looked at the room. Of course, she obviously liked the room. Came back down. She said, I'll stay tonight, you know. And tonight stayed the next night, stayed the following night. We got her into the Foss was back then. Yeah. So we got her into Course and Foss, you know. And she once she could begin to trust us, you know, then she relaxed and asked to do more things, you know.
Do you know what, though? It is all about trust, isn't it?
It is.
Because yesterday on the show, we talked about Barry Keoghan. He was in foster care with his brother,
He's
Eric.
He's amazing.
He is. For 13 years. And 13 different foster homes he was in over his childhood before his grandmother could take him back. And what he talked about was the fact that not knowing where you belong, the fear of being somewhere else, the traumatic experience of lack of security. And that's what foster carers like you give the children, isn't it? Security.
A little bit of love, a lot of love, some security. You know, they get back to going to school. They get back into routine. They get back into eating meals. You know, I never asked a child what they liked. I always asked a child what they didn't like. So I never gave them what they didn't like, you know, and therefore they would eat their dinner. You know, they'd look forward to the next meal because they knew it was going to be something they liked, you know. And as I said about that young girl, like, you know, we ended up bringing her on holidays and she had great fun and dancing with my, you know, my eldest girl then, which I think she was about 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. And I had a younger child, you know, which was younger. She would have been about 3 at that stage. And, you know, to see the 3 of them up dancing, you know, she could have been doing that with her own siblings.
So they become part of your family while
Absolutely.
They're with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were never treated any different. Yeah. You know, to the fact that most people didn't even know I fostered for years. They always thought they were friends of the children. You know, they always thought they were friends of the children. But when that girl was leaving me, she left a note under the pillow, you know, because she wanted to be independent. She was moving on. Would you like me to read that for you?
She left a note and you she brought
did.
It in.
I did.
Please do.
So this is from her. Okay. She washed away all my pain away, and how I do not know. Was it that she knew, or was it that she felt she had to? I came with all my pain, ready to have to fight again. But she still gave me a warm smile and held her arms open wide, and she took me by her side. I could feel the wall around my heart breaking, the wall that I thought I would never stop making. I didn't know why. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry. The wall around my heart is now gone, and I still don't know how or why, but all I know is that it takes someone very special to make me feel special.
That's so lovely. She wrote that.
That
and she
was her,
didn't even tell
didn't
you.
Didn't tell me. I was when I was cleaning out the room, and the note fell from. She actually put it inside the pillowcase. So, as you do when a child leaves, you come back in through the door, tears streaming down your face, your heart is breaking, but you're not long in through the door before the phone rings again and it's another child needing that space for a little while to get them settled into another.
You see, I think I would find it so difficult, especially you had one of the children, I think, for 4 years.
That was my last girl. Yeah, I did. And she came to me out of a foster placement and she did her intercert with me and then we discussed what she wanted to do because she was very independent and she wanted to be independent. She just wanted to spread her wings and fly. So it was hard to keep her with us. And then she decided she was going to do the leaving. And she did the leaving. And God love her, you know, she was now thinking about her own apartment because she was going into aftercare after that. And COVID hit. So she was stuck with us for another year and a half maybe. And then she finally went to her own apartment and she's doing really, really well today. She actually went back home to spend time with her own siblings and her mum for a while. So you can reconnect, you know, they do reconnect with their own family. It's just giving everybody the space they need at the time they need it and a helping hand.
I suppose you have to have that mindset at the outset that, you know, they're not yours. But I mean, have you ever taken in a little baby, very small, vulnerable, and you nurture that child like your own?
Well, I've a story. I got a phone call one night at about 10 o'clock baby coming. And I thought, okay, Beth out of the attic, down the stairs in front of the fire, because she'd been in a car all day. So you can imagine she would have been soiled and everything else. This guard stood at the door and he was about 6'7". He was huge. And I opened the door and he says, "Is the foster mum there?" And I went, "I am the foster mum." He said, "You're having a laugh." "No, you're not." And I said, "I don't know what he thought foster mums looked like." You know what I mean? But anyway, we got him in and he came in and he said, "God, I can't believe you're a foster mum." And I said, "Yeah, I know I am." And he helped me bath the baby.
And did he?
Yeah, he did. And I went and got the bottle and my own two children were upstairs. And he had a peek at my own two children fast asleep in the bed. And he says, "God, how do you do it?" And I said, "Well, if I don't do it, who will?" We need more people that are willing to just step in and do what's needed at the time it's needed. Children going to hospital, their parents mightn't be able to get up every day. You know, they might need somewhere to stay when they come out of hospital. You know, nowadays, the community that we were reared in, as you know.
Yeah, like it takes a village and all
it
that.
Takes, yeah. And that's fantastic.
But not really there
you
anymore.
You don't know your neighbour anymore. You know, now I know a few of mine, but you don't really get to know who's down the block where they always helped out in years ago. That's not there anymore. So you could have somebody coming from another country with children and suddenly they get sick and they need someone to take care of the children.
Because
so
we often think, no, you're so right. And we often think of fostering. We think, oh yeah, they're abandoned. The children are abandoned because of reasons. That's not always the case.
No.
And that's very important to say. No. But what's it like to have a small baby like that little baby you took in? How do you emotionally deal with giving that baby back?
Well, you're rearing your own to give them wings to fly. So while you have that baby in your arms, it's getting the love, it's getting the care and attention. I had one time I had to run between Our Lady's Hospital and the Coombe to get breast milk because the mother only wanted breast milk for the baby. So she'd extract some breast milk and I'd get the rest of the breast milk from the cuddle mums and Our Lady's and the cuddle mums and the Coombe. And, you know, then my mum, who's a very wise woman, came to me and said, "Okay, you're running ragged, every second bottle, give it pet milk and just see if there's a difference." Baby thrived. Mother was delighted. Mother got the rest she needed and baby went back to mother. And between mother and her sister, it became a relative fostering placement and baby went on back to family and it was amazing. I got a phone call from the social workers about a girl I fostered and she had come into difficulty after having her child and she said she'd put him into care if I took him. And I had him for a couple of years. We did mother and baby kind of routine and we tried to help her get back on track. And he then was fostered onto a family of long term with guys in it so he could wrestle because we were a household of girls. So it was only the boyfriends of my children that would be able to rustle about with them, you know, and that kind of thing. And he's thriving. Yeah. And she's thriving in her own little world. Meet up with her every so often. We go for lunch, you know, and she's really trying.
I think it's fabulous that you have such great stories, but I'm sure there were trying times when you had children.
Very challenging
as well.
Times, yeah. You know, very challenging times, but no ask was too big. You know, there was really no ask too big. And I always say, there for the grace of God go I. And until you walk in somebody else's shoes, you just don't know the tragedy that they're facing or the help that people need.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, and we need everybody in all walks of life to come forward.
Because you've retired now, have you?
I have. Well, I have retired and here I am sitting here. I have, yes, I have. And my own health isn't great at the moment, so I need to take time
Sorry
out.
To hear that,
my
yeah.
own girls want to be able to do stuff on the spur of the moment. And you really can't do that. You need to plan things when you're fostering, which is not difficult when your children are young because you're planning all the time, you know. But that for them to say to me on a Friday night, "Mam, pack a suitcase, you know, we're going somewhere." That's where they want to go.
I suppose you have to do it. We just have lots of texts coming
yeah.
in and I'm not surprised. Maura, thank you for having this amazing guest. I didn't catch her name as I joined mid-conversation. I am in awe of this foster mum and commend her for her huge heart and humanity. She's really making a colossal difference to so many young lives at such a vulnerable time for these kids. It's incredibly selfless of her and I hope she acknowledges how many lives she has helped and to fly and soar in ways. And now she's crying in front of me here. The world needs more of this kind of love. And you know what? To be honest, Teresa, By the way, her name is Teresa Hoy, for this person that got in touch. We do need more people like
we
you.
Do.
And you have helped so many people. But, you know, when you think about it, children, you get them in babies and different things. What about siblings and separating siblings and foster homes? That must be very difficult.
Well, you'd get the phone call, can you take a group of siblings?
Yeah.
You know, I tried never to part siblings. So, I mean, I remember one time many years ago, there was I was doing a respite case with two teenagers and I got a phone call the weekend. They were to come to me for three siblings. And I said, it was only for the weekend. And I said, listen, if they don't mind all helping one another out, I'll give the teenagers the option. Do they want to still come to me? They might want to come the following week. And the teenagers said, no, we're dying to go to you. So we all went to the zoo. There was snow on the ground at one point. But actually, there were seven children in the household at one stage. And I have to
say... Seven foster kids?
No, two of my own.
And five foster kids?
Three of one family and two of another.
And where did you put them all?
Well, the three siblings took the box room. The two teenagers, they were delighted to just come that weekend. So they didn't really have to have their own bedroom. They said they'd bring sleeping bags and sleep on the floor.
You know what? Isn't that great, though?
But when you think back to your lifetime and your friends would stay over, not everyone had a bed.
That's so true.
We all want foster children to have their own bed in their own room. Don't get me wrong. My box room was the foster room.
If you think about that, the most important thing, if somebody needs shelter, love, food, care, and a warm house with a fire,
But that is the criteria. And somebody that is really willing and really wants to make a difference to children's lives. You know, people think about it for a long time, you know, especially young mothers who have maybe two babies at home and saying, God, I'd love another child around seven, eight, nine, you know, years of age. This is the time to do it. If you're thinking about it, step forward. If it doesn't suit the household and doesn't suit you, you're not going to be forced to continue. But if you don't try it, you'll never know.
Yeah. And what would you say just to people listening today that might have reservations? A, maybe like, oh my God, what about foster kids? If I bring kids into the house and they mightn't get on with my own kids or they might have problems. How do you, first of all, have all that love to give? And also, how do you mitigate between your own children and the foster kids? I mean, is there a secret to foster caring?
My kids were very good down through the years. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. You know, and signs on, my eldest child has gone into social care. You know, she's now managing a role in social care in residential.
And that's because she was brought up with foster children, you think?
Well, yeah. And she saw the choices, you know, she saw the difference she could make. You know, my youngest girl went into banking, you know, again, management role, working with people, and has also become a celebrant. You know, so like they saw what making choices when they were younger, you know, it kept me on the straight and narrow. You know, it sometimes, you know, you'd be thinking about doing this or doing that or doing the other and you'd go, no, I'm going to another child now. Ground me again.
Really? So you feel it's a grounding experience that you get as much out of it
blessing.
As they get?
Huge blessing. When my mum got sick and I had to take her into my home, you know, not that I had to, but, you know, that's where she wanted to. Of course, it was easy done. And I wasn't able to foster at the time. And just before my mum passed away, I get a phone call, Teresa, we need you for a particular child. I says, great, no problem. My mum said, take it. I'm not going to be here much longer. And I took this little guy and I made a phone call at 12 o'clock at night time because I knew some of my friends, you know, love going to the markets and that kind of thing. And I said, if there's anything, cots, prams, buggies, bottles, anything, this little lad has come to me and I have nothing because I gave it to make room for my mum. I'd departed with all the stuff thinking I'd never gone back to fostering. 2 o'clock that morning, there was a knock on my door and it was one of my very good friends who loves doing the markets with cot, pram, three of her daughters with clothes from her children, bottle, sterilizer. Unbelievable. And I'll never be able to thank that family. Those girls, they're just amazing.
Brilliant.
But that's the type, that's what happens with the family when you start fostering. Your friends come aboard, your family comes on board. I'd get a phone call on Christmas, you know, Christmas week. How many have you got for Christmas? How many more presents are we buying?
Brilliant.
You know what I mean? And everyone just rallies around.
You know what, Teresa, you have really painted a lovely picture and, you know, it's done as much for you as you did for
all those
children. And
I love
that. So just to wrap, just if you want to get in touch with Tousley, you can do that. And they provide basic training. Of course, you will be Gore the Vetted. But most people can foster. It is not a closed shop. Couples, single people, people with disabilities, provided that the disability or medical condition, you know, would not prevent you from caring. People with or without children, unemployed people, those over 40. So really, to be honest, it is a wonderful thing to do. And you have done a wonderful service to those children, but to society in general.
Teresa
Hoy, thank you so much.
No problem.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have.
And tousley.ie, that will get you there. It will get you there and your journey can begin.
Fair play. Thank you so much, Teresa. Yes, guest is amazing. Everybody needs someone like Teresa in their lives, says Orla in Cork. There's a lack of empathy with many people these days, and the world needs more people like Teresa, like that foster mum. The note the girl left that she read out here for us says it all. She is a modern day saint. Teresa, a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take a little break. Back in a moment.
Email oliver@rte.ie.